You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, God has entrusted us with various resources like abilities, possessions, and money, so now we have two basic choices with what God has given to us. We can be like unbelievers by using what we have for our own selfish desires, or we can be like Jesus by using such things according to the instruction of God's word. In today's gospel reading, we met a dishonest manager, and when he was caught, before he turned over the books, he took some radical action in order to try to get support from his customers after he was let go from his position. As we continue to work through today's sermon, it's not an easy text at all. Maybe you struggled with it even as I read it earlier, but we're going to make some sense of it today, and it's actually very challenging to us in many personal ways. So I hope you have open hearts and minds to hear it and consider it very carefully. Ask yourself as we proceed through, who is my master? Is it God or is it my money? So going back to our gospel reading, Jesus said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And charges were brought to the rich man that this manager was wasting his possessions. And the rich man called to the manager and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager. Apparently, whoever brought this information to the rich man, it must have been so convincing that the rich man had made up his mind without even talking to the manager. So he said to the manager, bring your books, and as soon as you bring them, the rich man had in his mind, you're fired. That's where we're going with this whole thing. So, going to the manager now what's he going to do? The manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? So he's considering his options. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. And then kind of the light bulb goes on in his head, and now he decides what he's going to do. He said he's going to work with the customers in such a way that when he loses his job, then those customers, they will be indebted to him and they will help him. So it's a very clever scheme. I don't have time to go into all the details about it, but I've been thinking about this text for a few weeks now, and the more you think about it and get into it, it's a very clever thing he did. But let me try to give you just a little bit of it. So you know what it says there, where he calls in different people and he's saying, what do you owe? And then he's telling them, take out another piece of paper, write down that you owe less. So imagine writing an IOU. We don't think much about an IOU anymore, do we? But if you wrote one, you're indicating what you owe. So now, when he has the customer write down what he owes and have him do it on another sheet of paper, the rich man doesn't know about this, and because now we have a new sheet of paper, it appears to be legitimate. But what we have going on now is you have not only the dishonest manager is trying to steal from the rich man, but now you have the customer involved in the whole plot trying to steal from the rich man. So you can imagine that when the man loses his job, he can go to that customer and he can say, you need to help me. I gave you a great deal. And that customer has to keep his mouth shut because he's involved in the plot himself. That's what we have going on here in this whole thing. Can you see how the dishonest manager used the money under his control for his own selfish gain? That's really the point of it. So he was entrusted with this money as the manager, and he used it for his own selfish gain. And then we see the rich man's response to this when he finds out. The Bible says the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, or we could say for his smartness. And then he said to him, "For the sons of this world," in other words, for unbelievers, "are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation," in other words, in dealing with other unbelievers, "than the sons of light." What does that mean? What is he trying to say there? It means that unbelievers do a better job of using their money to benefit in this life than believers do in using their money to benefit for the life to come. And then going further here, Jesus made some application now to his disciples. So keep in mind here, he's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking about people who know they are sinners, who are sorry for their sins, who are trusting in Jesus. He's trying to say to them, "Hey guys, I'm talking to you now. I'm talking to you who follow me, you who trust in me. Let me tell you the proper ways to deal with your money." So Jesus said to them, "I tell you, make friends," in other words, make Christian friends, "for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth." What is the unrighteous wealth? That would be the money of this world. So make friends for yourself with the money of this world so that when it fails, when is our money going to fail? When we have God as our Father in heaven, he's going to provide what we need. So our money is not going to fail until we die. He's going to provide what we need. So he said again to his disciples, "So when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." Who is they? We're talking here about God the Father and God the Son. So when you die, God is going to receive you into heaven. Regarding the dishonest manager, we saw him go from bad to worse. So he was a dishonest manager, he got caught, and then he became even more dishonest in order to try to take the money entrusted to him to provide for his needs down the road. What is Jesus trying to do here for us? He's trying to inspire us as believers to go in the opposite direction. So the dishonest manager, he goes from bad to worse. Jesus is trying to inspire us to go from good to better, as we think about how we use what God has entrusted to us. Consider these comparisons that Lenski has laid out in his commentary. Many similarities here between the dishonest manager and us. The man in our text today was a manager. We too are managers. In other words, he was entrusted with certain things. We have been entrusted with certain things. This man used his money to make friends to provide for him later on. We do the same thing in certain ways with our money in order to make friends. For the dishonest manager, one day his life would come to an end. For us too, one day our lives will come to an end. Lenski made this comment, "The sons of this eon," in other words, this time on earth, "the sons of this eon care for earthly houses. The sons of light," the believers, "are set," or we could say are focused on, "entering heavenly mansions." So there's a different mindset between the unbeliever and the believer. For the unbeliever, the whole focus is here and now. For the believer, it's a whole different thing. Yes, we're here, we have needs and so on, but it's all a temporary kind of a thing. We're focused on the life to come. That's forever and ever. This is only short during this time here. The main difference between the unbeliever and the believer would be the motivation. So that's really what we're getting to here. For the dishonest manager, he was motivated by the desire to please himself. For the believer, he is motivated by wanting to please God, because God has given him the gift of eternal life and many other wonderful things. Going further here, I want to do a little bit more application. So think about the heart for a moment. Is our heart for ourselves, or is our heart for God? Now, let's be honest, there's always a mix within the heart because we're fallen creatures. We have both the old nature and the new nature, but which one is dominating? Is the old nature dominating us and we're living like the world, or is the new nature dominating us and we're living more for God? So Jesus went on and said, "One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth," in other words, the money of this world, "who will entrust to you the true riches?" In other words, the spiritual and eternal riches. And then Jesus said, "And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" So I make this statement that we have here. We are only the managers and not the owners. It's really important for us to get that through our minds. In other words, we're not taking it with us. If you think about working for a company and you're a manager at that company, you're managing that money or that particular part of the company while you work for that company, but it's not a forever and ever thing. Once you stop working there, you're no longer managing there. Once we die, we have nothing more to manage. So God has given us something to manage for a temporary time. It really belongs to God. We are not the owners. We are the managers. And then regarding all that God has entrusted to us, how are we managing those things? Are we doing it according to what we think is best, according to our own desires, or are we doing it according to God's way? Think about God being the CEO. God is directing how we are to manage what he has given, but are we going off on our own, or are we listening to the president of the company? And then, getting to who our master is, Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So think about it this way. When money is our master, then we have a negative view of God's instruction about money. So if money is in control and the pastor is preaching about money, we're like, "Oh, we don't even want to hear that. I should have brought my earplugs today," or something like that. However, though, when God is our master, then we want to know what his word says about money, because we want to put that into practice in our lives, because we know that is best. That's what it's getting at, where we can't have both as our master. So when money is in control, we don't want to hear anything about what God's word says about giving. But when God is our master, now we want to hear what his word says. And then we have this little reaction at the end here from the Pharisees. So they must have been listening in on this whole thing. And the Bible says, "The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things and they ridiculed him." So think about that. What's going on there? Money was their master. So money being their master, that gave them a negative view about what Jesus was saying regarding money. So you can see how Jesus just gave the principle, and then we see its application right there with these men. And then Jesus said to them, "You are those," talking up to these Pharisees, "you are those who justify yourselves before men." In other words, you make yourselves appear to be righteous. You're not really in your hearts, but you make yourself appear that way. But then Jesus reminded them and said, "But God knows your hearts." So you're fooling the other people, but you're not fooling God. And then finally Jesus said, "For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Well, a lot could be said about that, but let me try to wrap it up in this way. So we're not to exalt ourselves, we're not to lift ourselves up, but rather God calls us to see our sins. God calls us to humble ourselves. God calls us to trust in Jesus Christ as our only Savior. God calls us to rejoice that we have his gift of forgiveness, complete forgiveness. God says, "I will remember your sins no more." How wonderful. God wants us to know that we have his gift of eternal life, not earned or deserved at all, his free gift to us in Jesus Christ. And then, with all of that said, God wants us to use his word in order to guide the use of our money. Just before I have the final prayer here with the sermon, I want to talk about this insert a little bit real quick. So if you would take out the insert that you have in your folder today, this chart is talking about weekly giving. And then you can see on this set of steps, you can see something written in there with black magic marker. All those different steps there, those are representative of all the different people of Bethlehem who've received a box of offering envelopes for 2019. So we have 88 people, if you add up those numbers, 88 people have received boxes of envelopes. And keep in mind that we try to give envelopes only to people that we actually think are going to use them. So these are all people that we expect would actually put something in those envelopes. So we have 88 of them. And then, if you take a look over at the bottom of the staircase then, you can see we have 8 people in a category, which is 0. So that means we have 8 people that we gave them a box of envelopes, but not even once the whole year have they put anything in one of those envelopes. And then, right next to that, we have 12 people who are in the category of averaging somewhere between 1 cent and $4.99 a week. And then you can see it goes up from there. Let me make some key points here. One point that is not a key point would be over here on the right side of the page. You can look there and you can see that we are $25,000 behind this year regarding what's come in versus what we've spent. But that is not a key thing at all. What's a key thing is when you get down to the bottom right-hand corner of the page, because I have just a few biblical principles there on how we should be dealing with giving. So notice the second bullet point, biblical giving is based on receiving. So you shouldn't say, oh, I'm going to give so much because the church needs my money. That's not the idea here at all. But what I'm trying to say is that our giving is based on our receiving. Some people receive a lot, some people receive a little, some people receive some amount in between, but whatever we give should always be tied into what we receive. And then with the third bullet point there, it says a portion of what we receive belongs to the Lord. So that's a very clear biblical principle as well. So what it's saying is that when we get whatever we get, whether it's through a paycheck or Social Security or pension or whatever it might be, however we get whatever we get, God is saying that along with what we get is both our portion and God's portion. So it's stating that a portion of that belongs to God. So God is guiding us in his word to take the portion that belongs to him and give it to your church for the work of the kingdom. And then you keep the other portion and you use that for yourself for whatever you want to do with it. That's how the Bible is laid out. And actually, I'm not going to talk too much about it today, but there are so many promises that God is making in connection with that. Some of you might remember the sermon I did some years ago now. And based on the passage there in Luke chapter 6, it says that God gives to us according to the measure that we use to give to him. And you might remember I was standing right here in the pulpit and I had a little Dixie cup and I said, if we fill up this Dixie cup and we give that to God, God is going to then refill the Dixie cup and give it back to us. So we use that size measure and he uses the same size measure. And that's okay. However, though, you might recall that I had a 5-gallon bucket behind the pulpit, and I pulled that up, and I said, wow, if we filled that up and gave that to God, that would be a lot. And most people are not willing to do that. But you know what happens, though? When you fill up the 5-gallon bucket and you give that to God, what does he do? He then fills up the 5-gallon bucket and gives it back to you. So that's how it works. But you'll notice, though, in the Bible, Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. Over the years, I've heard so many people say, "Pastor, as soon as God gives me more, then I'll give him more." That is the opposite of what the Bible is saying. God is saying, "Trust me, step out in faith, you go first, and you can be confident that I will follow." Those are a couple things on this side. If you go to the other side of the sheet real quick, you can see there, it's kind of complicated with all the numbers, but really on the column over to the left, we have weekly income, and you can kind of figure out where you're at there. Even if you're on a fixed income, you kind of know how much you have coming in each month, so you would have to take whatever you have coming in and divide by four to be able to line it up with those numbers. As I think about this side of the page, it reminds me of one of our shut-ins. For a number of years, she had this practice. So I went to see her, and she said, "Well, Pastor, I want to write out a check for the church." And then we had a little discussion, and she's like, "I don't really know how much I'm supposed to be giving to the church." So we had a discussion about it, and I talked with her about the topic of tithing and so on. And then she was real open with me. She said to me, she said, "Well, when I think about it, between my Social Security that I receive and pension money that I receive, I have about $2,700 coming in per month." So I said, "Well, if you wanted to tithe, which is what the Bible talks about, that would mean that you would be giving $270 per month." So she said, "Would it be okay with you if I just write out a check for $300? She kind of liked the round numbers, I guess. So I said, "Well, if you want to do that, that would be fine with me." So that started a pattern, though, and for months and for years, that's what she did. So she had a certain amount coming in, and on the basis of what she had coming in, she wrote a check, and she gave that to support the church. For Kathy and I, over 30 years ago, we used to give $10 a week to the church, and we found out about tithing, and within 2 weeks, we increased our giving to $60 a week. So we actually went from giving a very small amount to actually tithing, and then over a period of about 3 to 4 years, God ended up increasing my income by 150% over the next 3 to 4 years. So we started giving with a much bigger measure that we had been using, and God filled up that same measure and gave it back to us. I've had people go like for decades giving like a certain amount, and they heard something about tithing, and they actually started to do it, and they tell me like how surprised that they are what God is doing in their lives. So it happens over and over again, and I want it to happen to each one of you. Let me close with a prayer here and finish up this sermon. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the money that you have entrusted to each one of us. We pray that you would make our hearts for you and help us to use our money according to the instruction of your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.